Vayhili shor vachamor. Yaakov says, I have ox, I have donkeys. The Medrash Rabbah says, ox, that's Yosef. Chamor, that's the Mashiach. Mashiach is described by the Navi as one who will come in on a chamor. That's what the Medrash says. One of the ways that a person can overcome the entrapments of his desire, of the attraction to the other side, is when a person can focus on how worthless Tumah is. If a person stops and thinks and says, that's pointless. And when a person recognizes that it is not eternal, it's not going to last. It's not worth it. Sitting here in class, if you think about it for a minute, you can tell yourself there's no point in wasting time on the internet. You can sit here in class and say there's really no point in looking at things that are inappropriate. What's the point? Nothing really comes of it. There's nothing real about it. A person has to remind himself that. I thought to myself, before I saw this piece in Rav Harlap, that that's the pshat of the Gemara in Brachos. They asked one of the rabbis, how could you be where women are present? And he said, I see them as white geese. I see them as white geese. I don't notice that they're women. What does that mean? That means there's a perspective. If you look at her as an object of desire, so then how could you sit here where there are women walking around? You're standing here where the women, he was sitting right where the women came out of the bathhouse. They said, why he was teaching them laws, meaning he was there in order to teach them. But the rabbi said, with all due respect, how could you be here? Aren't you concerned? And he said, I don't see them that way. That means if we can look at it, if we can remind ourselves, they're white geese, take it easy. Again, it's not putting them down, it's putting our desire down. It's reminding ourselves, why do I have to get all excited over this? That's one of the ways to overcome what our desire is trying to entrap us with. A person wears down his desire, and it passes. It's fleeting, because the life of our desire is the same fluff of false pride. It blows itself up like it's an amazing thing. I'll give you an example. You're sitting at a bus stop, and the guy next to you has an ice cream cone. And it's a sweltering hot day, and he's licking that ice cream cone. And it always looks better than it tastes. Watching someone else eat an ice cream cone when you're boiling hot is not the same as eating it yourself. You eat it yourself, it just doesn't have the same effect. Yeah, it's the same thing with watching someone else eat something delicious, etc. Chazal say, "Tov mar'ei einayim mehalach nafesh." What we see and imagine is always better than the real thing. Our imagination makes it so. Yes.
To be on a level where you can say their geese is not. It's, you know, don't put yourself in that situation.
We're not on that level. You see, the rabbis weren't there.
But can you get me one of those goats? That's for, you know what I mean, the reality, and it's true, as one gets older, especially one realizes, you know, the stuff that, you know, I mean, we're all capable of falling, but it's the pulls can be less strong towards things that are so firm, you know, that don't have this shortness. But to not put oneself in that situation until one really has proved and tested that they can handle it is to be recommended.
For sure, we don't put ourselves in that situation. The point here is, yeah. You're in a place.
Right.
You're at an event. There's things going on in front of you. How do you take control of yourself? Says Rav Harlap, one of the keys is to remind yourself, this is not the point of life. This is not eternal.
Well, I hear it. It's just the idea that to be able to say, at least to me, you're like geese, you know, that's whoa.
We don't put ourselves in that test, but we find ourselves there often.
Right.
So if a person only reveals to his consciousness that that's something very fleeting, that's going to pass, so then when you realize that something is fleeting, so then it's already half gone in your eyes. And that's why Yaakov tells Esav, he says, Yosef's already here. Mashiach's on its way. And what Yaakov is trying to help Esav recognize is there is an end game. And at the end game, I'm going to win. And when you can recognize that, very often you say, okay, so what am I fighting for? If I'm going to end up there anyways, I might as well get there. Mashal lema davar domeh. A person is preparing for Yom Kippur. He's sitting there thinking, I want to do Tshuvan A, I want to do Tshuvan B, and tomorrow's going to be Yom Kippur, and I'm going to do C and D. And he's trying to do Tshuva, and then his friend calls him, and he says, there's an amazing thing online, come look at it. He starts walking there, and then he says, wait a second, tomorrow I'm going to do Tshuva for this. Wait. No. If we can realize, so when it's tomorrow, it's easier. Says Rav Chalap, it doesn't only have to be tomorrow. Sometimes it's the mere recognition that ultimately this is not the point. It can drive a person forward. And if I can add, I believe that this is one of the strengths of coming to yeshiva. When a person is out of yeshiva, very often all kinds of trivialities can take center stage. The attraction to a girl, the attraction to his desires, the attraction to all kinds of little things. And it's not only attraction. It can be work. It can be anger. It can be a fight a person's in. It can be a person's issue with their spouse. We're focused on our own little world as though that's the only thing that matters. You walk into yeshiva and suddenly you get a different perspective. There's all of life. We're talking about all of Judaism. We're talking about morality. We're talking about greater values. We're talking about a greater process that I'm a part of. And suddenly I get perspective. My own life, my own issue, with all due respect to the fight I had with my wife about who's going to clean that crock pot. She says, I promised I would do it. I say, I did it last week. We said we take turns back and forth. And okay, I'll clean the crock pot. But I do it begrudgingly. And then I come into Kashir and I learn about, you're supposed to be a giving person. Part of being a giving person is to give in when I'm not supposed to be, even if I'm right. And I read that, and then I look back at my own life and I say, big deal, so I'll clean the crock pot. So what's the big deal? Because why is it a big deal? Because when you're not in yeshiva, so very often you could get very taken with the small point. It's not fair, we agreed, and you're forgetting what we agreed. And why is that important? It's important because it's the only thing we're thinking about. You walk out of that little box, you come into yeshiva, you realize there's a bigger world, there are bigger values. Then you look back at your own life and you see how your life fits into that, and you can make your own life work better. So it's not only about dealing with our desires, it's also dealing with all of our challenges in life. When a person, I myself, when I'm upset, when I'm sad, very often I'll say, I have to go to Beis Medrash because it's hitting the reset button. It can be the most disastrous thing that happened. I have to go on Beis Medrash. I remember when Kobe Mandel was murdered, when they found the bodies of those two children that were tortured and bled to death. They used their blood to paint the walls of a cave. They literally tortured these two children to death. And I remember when first the two children went missing, and then finally they found their bodies. And first I was devastated. I wrote a song. And then I said, I have to go learn. I wrote something in their memory, a poem. And then I said, I have to learn. What can I do now? There's nothing I can't do anything, right? What can I do? I could learn Torah. So you say, Torah is the biggest merit for the world. Torah is also the reset button for me. How can I get back in focus? How can I take what just happened in perspective? How can I deal with what I now realize just happened? Through the Torah. Torah helps us see the world with greater clarity and greater inner peace. So Rav Chalap says, you want to deal with your challenges, remind them how minuscule they are. I'm adding and saying, and the way to remind ourselves the perspective of our challenges and the perspective we should have on the positive things and our own growth is by taking a step away, going into Beis Medrash, even for 20 minutes, even for a half hour. I walk out, I see the world differently. Yes? It can be. It can be. For a person whose tefillah is on the proper level, tefillah can also be an excellent tool. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
This connects back to what we said like a few months ago about how sometimes when there's like a bigger, I think you said like a person gave a bracha that you should have many problems because you get many small problems. usually means you're in one big problem. So this can really affect that. Over here, like you're saying that, you know, you have many small trivialities that distract you, right? And then at some point you realize like what's like the purpose, and like you realize like what purpose of life is, etc. Right? And this is, in the same way, it's a very similar. I think it's a very similar idea is that, you know, when you're not worrying about the small, when there's something, when you see like something, you know, larger, whatever it could be something, you know, that you place upon yourself, which is like learning, or it could be something that's placed upon you, which could be, you know, tsarot, and then you realize like what's like everything else is insignificant.
Yafeh.